Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe and smash that thumbs up. Be sure to check out my online store, and check me out on Spotify and Apple Podcast. If you have a story you would like to submit, email it to me, zachbabytv@gmail.com. Now, there's always something creepy going on in the woods. Some things you know about, but most things you don't. Let's get into tonight's tale. Every place in the world has its ghost stories, popular or not. The Jersey Devil, the Crescent Hotel. The list can go on and on if you look deep enough in the bowels of Google search results. It primarily boils down to urban legend at some point, either to attract tourists or to keep kids from doing something they shouldn't. Sure, growing up in a small town, we had our stories, but none of them really sounded very original compared to the myriad of almost exact duplicates floating around elsewhere. Growing up, it made things exceptionally boring for me, and it just made me more and more jealous of the kids on the TV shows and other media like Goosebumps. You're a kid. You always get dreamy-eyed when you hear about others going through something paranormal, and you never stop to think about how terrifying it would actually be. It was roughly about 2004-2006. I was 12 at the time, you know, the age where you're not a baby anymore. Despite that, though, I always slept with a nightlight plugged into the outlet at the far end of the room, never telling my friends to avoid the inherent teasing. Boys will be boys after all. When you live at the edge of town, though, there are no streetlights, or any other lights for miles when the sun goes down for that matter. Therefore, without all of the light population, things get dark on the outskirts. Adding this to the lack of television in my bedroom at the time, and the little white nightlight was the only thing that could light up my room. I had a tendency to wake up before something happened, and I still do now. I magically and automatically wake up seconds before my alarm goes off, or before a loud crash of thunder, and that's what happened that night. Staring at the tiny little nightlight at the far edge of the room after mysteriously waking up, I heard that moment of, "Oh hell, what is it now?" I figured it would be a car's headlights shining into my window, or footsteps outside from one of my parents getting up to get water. But then, I heard it. I probably would have chalked it up to that too, if it weren't for the little nightlight across my way flickering every time the whirling started again, lasting for a few seconds, stopping for the same amount of time again, and starting again. I laid there in my bed for the longest time, too scared to get up and see if my parents were hearing it too. It probably only lasted for a few minutes, but it felt like hours until it whirled for one final time. this lasted for years, well into my senior year. When I got a cell phone, I also learned it was always at the same time as well, 1:36 a.m., and always within 25 seconds past it. It lasted until 1:40 a.m., and then it ceased. And while the whirling was audible, any and all light sources in my bedroom would flicker. TVs, mobile phone screens, night lights. I even brought a flashlight to bed once and turned it on, and it flickered probably the most out of everything. I had been telling my friends for years about the whirling, and every time, they laughed and said it was a nice try to scare them. It became a running gag in our group, much to my own dismay, until I finally decided to invite them out to camp in the woods so they could hear it for themselves after our graduation. Secretly, it was an excuse to check it out for myself, and not being totally alone while doing it. But there was no way I'd tell them that in a century. For the sake of brevity, let's call the boys Quentin, Roy, and Sam. Q-R-N-S. Quentin was always kind of the glue that kind of held us all together. Roy was the athlete that hung out with the guys that always talked about movies and played atmosphere for some reason. And Sam was the quiet one of the group. We never really knew much about Sam, other than the fact that he was super into Green Day and Pokemon. He always kept his personal life to himself, which worried us sometimes. For the most part, it was a good time. We roasted marshmallows over a campfire in the middle of nowhere and told dumb stories about things that happened at work, like how Quentin once had to check somebody out who paid a $20 fee all in dimes. We probably would have made these trips a habit if it wasn't for, you know, the whirling at 1 a.m. So, we sat and messed around until 1:30 a.m. I told everyone to grab their flashlights because we would definitely be getting chased after that. And we only had about 4 minutes or so to find the source. Quentin and Roy still joked about it, saying I was pranking them, but Sam actually pulled out his camera. Oh, come on, Sam. You know this is a prank, right? It's not a prank. Sure, and I'm Boba Fett, the intergalactic bounty hunter. Everyone froze. This was the closest and loudest I'd ever heard the whirling, and it was definitely a car that was having trouble starting. To my shock, the fire flickered and suddenly had trouble maintaining its size whenever the whirling occurred. And this close, I could hear something between the whirling. A man's voice, shouting out curses for the first few bounds of noise. Holy shit, it's real, Roy whispered. And then, after the third whirling phase, someone actually called out through the forest.
Hey. Hey. Anyone out there? My goodness. My car won't start.
I've never seen Quentin go so pale in my entire life, even after this happened. Suddenly, he wasn't laughing about the absurdity of my stories. I nodded to them to stand up and follow so we could find the source, and clumsily they did. After all, we only had 4 minutes to find what was causing it, and curiosity is a powerful, powerful thing. Maybe too powerful. The whirling combined with the guys yelling made it easier to track down and nowhere near as frustrating as I thought it would be. He sounded like he was in his early to mid-20s and clearly panicking that his car broke down in the middle of nowhere. So we quickly tried to find out where he was, much to our annoyance with no lights flickering like they were. But every time we tried to yell for him to help us find him, car guy would never respond, continuing to yell for help jump-starting his car. Maybe he didn't hear us, or maybe he didn't care. Either way, we kept following the engine revving and the yelling until we came across something I had no idea was even in the woods to begin with. There were cars. Lots and lots of rusted-out cars. You ever see those lots like the ones in American Pickers? Where people just hoard and hoard all these old vehicles and just leave them. It's usually in smaller amounts due to sheds, but picture one of those lots, but easily spanning more than a mile in the middle of the woods. Easily 50 or more vehicles rusted out, just abandoned amongst the trees. Now, imagine it's pitch black because of the lack of light pollution. Your only source of light gets super weak and flickers every few seconds, and there's a guy somewhere in the lot shouting that his car is broken. I have absolutely no idea how we managed to gather the courage and venture into that lot. Maybe it was because someone was in danger, or maybe it was because we were all too manly to admit we were frickin' terrified and wanted to go back home. I don't remember, but either way, we began searching the lot, trying to find the car guy and help him before 1:40 a.m.
God's sake, anyone? Please. I need help.
We searched the lot a bunch, passing several different cars of all shapes and sizes. Trucks, SUVs, you name it. We probably saw it in the lot that night. The further we went in, though, the older the models looked. I wouldn't put money on it, but if I remember correctly, I think I even saw an old rusted Model T after a while. All the cars were empty with no signs of drivers anywhere, as if everyone parked their cars in a specific random spot, miles away from the nearest road, and just left. We walked for maybe a minute, looking over all the rusted chaos, as we followed the trail into the heart of the lot. And when we got near the lot, Roy suddenly stopped in his tracks. He completely froze, like deer do when they're in headlights, and staring at the source of the revving, jaw agape. As we had gotten closer, the flickering effect had grown worse, and now our flashlights would just shut off for the duration. In the pitch black, and I couldn't see what Roy was looking at, but if it was enough to completely freeze a wrestler, I wasn't sure I wanted to ask. I did anyways, though. Roy, what's wrong?
Hood.
The lights came back on, and we were all frozen in pure fear. At the center of the car graveyard was a car I later found out was a 1959 Cadillac Eldorado, the newest-looking car we had seen for a while. It might have looked sleek and cool back in its day before it was rammed into a large tree in the middle, hood propped open by a groove in the bark. Under the hood, a mass of roots had grown into the engine, poking out of the headlights and weaving throughout the whole vehicle. Above us was something I thought only possible imaginary in a horror film. Something so grotesque and disgusting, I had considered it a statistical impossibility, yet there it was. A mass of bleached bones fused into the tree, hands forever stretched outwards in eternal attempts to free themselves. As the structure moved up the tree, the bones gained more and more rotting flesh, complete with their own myriad of flies, and it all accumulated into a whole human head at the top. It opened its mouth and spoke.
Please, come on, someone. Anyone. My car's not starting. Help.
The car at the base then revved. Headlights flickered with tiny bits of life there is no way it should have ever had. And in the brief darkness, we screamed and booked it out of there as fast as our legs could take us. I didn't even know that I could run that fast. Suddenly, when our lights came back on, every headlight in the graveyard flickered on, despite the bulbs inside being long broken.
Help me, please. My car won't start. Don't leave me here.
We ran. We ran. We frickin' ran until our calves hurt and our chest ached. We ran until we saw the dying light of our campfire, and then we kept running until we made it back to my house. Quentin flung open the door, Sam slammed it behind us, and I did the deadbolt and chain. We didn't return to camp that night, and we never even slept. I still have nightmares about that car guy sometimes, about the bones merging into the tree and the rotting flesh on some of the arms, about the revving of the Cadillac and the cries for aid that followed. I'm sure the boys did too, but they never said anything about it if they did, or if they ever ended up going to therapy after the trip. One thing's for sure though, we never made a dang joke about being scaredy cats ever again.